Begin the current daf, Masech Nisvachim, daf Yud Alef. Begin five lines up in the bottom of the Amud, on Yudam Beis, where the Gemara continues a related discussion with the previous daf, where the Gemara was explaining the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer in our Mishnah, where the Tanakam had said, Kol HaZvachim, like open up the topic, the title of our parak of this Masechta, all the Zvachim Shenizbuchu Shaloi Lishman, that were slaughtered not for its namesake, are Kasherim, they're valid, Elo Shaloi Elabam Shalom Chayva, but it did not fulfill the obligation of the owner, except from Chatas and Pesach, where they're Shaloi Lishma, they're going to be Pasul. And that Rabbi Eliezer said, including the categories also Ashim, because the Pasuk says, Kachatas Ka'ashim, just like the Chatas is Pasul Shaloi Lishma, so too Ashim. So related to that discussion, the Gemara brings a similar type of Machlekes. Tanan Hasim, we learned within the Mishnah Masechtas, and Daf Pei Alef and Beis, and Masechtas Zvachim, where the Mishnah there says, Shahayir Rabbi Kiva Oimer, because Rabbi Kiva had said, Kol Damim, all bloods of a carbon, which are the damim hachitzainim, which are carbonis, which are generally its blood is supposed to be kept out of the heichal. That's not brought inside the base of Mikdash. It's rather kept in the azar in the courtyard and is thrown on the outer mizbeach. Shenichnisu leheichal lechaper. If it's brought inside the sanctuary for atonement, so b'sulim. So then it's going to invalidate, and it's going to invalidate the carbon. Now, although the halacha of bringing the outer blood inside was actually only written by a carbon chatzos, as it says in the Pasuk, B'chol chatas ha-shayuva b'damah, the Pasuk is talking about any chatas that's blood will be brought inside will be pasul. But Rabbi Kiva, as the Gemara later on, the Pei Beis and Alf will explain, he includes from the word v'chol to include all types of karbanas, kachem kachem, kachem kalem, they're all going to be included in this invalidation of its blood being brought inside the sanctuary. V'chachamayim, they disagree. They say, no chatas b'vad, like the Pasuk says, only the sin offering that its blood is brought inside will become invalidated. A third opinion, Rabbi Yezoimer, Afa Asham says not only just by the Chatas, but also the Asham, Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk, which, as we said in the previous Daf's discussion, so to hear, it quotes the Pasuk, Meyukad Zayin, it says, Kachatas, Ka Asham, like the sin offering, is the guilt offering, the Torah Achaslam, that they have the same halacha. So, therefore, that's the three Machlekes. By all Kabbanis, like Rabbi Kiva, only Chatas, like the Chamim, or Chatas and Asham, like Rabbi Yazim. On that, as the Gemara Bishlam and Rabbi Eliezer, we understand the reasoning for his opinion. Could the Kamar Taima, like he said, the reasoning? Although the Pasuk says Chatas, but the Pasuk equates Asham to Chatas. Elder Rabbanan, my Taima, what's the reason of the opinion of the Rabbanan? Similarly, Rabbi Eliezer is correct. The Torah equates Kachatas ka Asham, has the same halacha. So why would it apply only to Chatas, not to Asham? On that, Amarav, he says, as the Gemara had a previous Gemara's discussion like this, Asham nichna is damer lefnim, regarding the carbon Asham's blood being brought inside the sanctuary. You cannot say that it's going to be like the Chatas, that it's going to be Pasul. Why? Although the seemingly Rabbi Eliezer wants to bring a Pasul that equates them, he says from a Kal V'chaimah that's going to disprove, you're not going to be able to say that it's going to be Pasul, Kal V'chaimah from Ayla, which is, Ma, just like we find this, we continue to have Yud Alef and Alef. Ayla is a very stringent carbon, where all of the parts of the animal are burned totally on top of the Mizbeach. Yet nichnas damu lefnim ksheira, if its blood is brought inside the sanctuary, the carbon is going to be kosher. That's both according to Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Eliezer, because unlike Rabbi Kiva, they don't expound the word kol and v'chol. And moreover, so since it's not included, and it's also not included in the hekesh, if anything, the only thing that would be included in the hekesh, like Rabbi Eliezer says, is asham, would be like chatas, but oila not. So therefore, when its blood is brought inside, it's kosher. So asham she'ena kol lekoshkin, so carbon asham, which is not as severe as oila. All of its parts are not burned totally on the Mizbeach, isn't it all the more so obvious that if its blood is brought inside the Hegel, it's not going to become possible. And that is the Gemara. Wait, Malo Eila, what can you compare to the carbon Eila? Shekin Eina Mechaperes. It does not provide atonement. It's some type of a gift offering and an appeasement, but atonement not. In contrast to Asham, like Chatas, is an atonement. Maybe it's more stringent, and therefore it does invalidate the carbon when the blood is brought inside the Hegel. Says the Gemara, no, minchas chayte, the flower offering of the sinner, which is certain karma chattas, which are called karma noel v'yari, depending on the finance of the person, like by Shmi Asakel, which is someone was said to make an oath that he doesn't know testimony, where if he swore falsely, he has to bring a karma chattas, but if he's wealthy, he brings an animal, if he's not so, then birds, and if he's even poorer, then he brings a flower offering. Techir, that will disprove, because that is a karma chattas, that atones. And however, if the flower offering is brought inside the Hegel, it's going to be kosher, because the Pasuk only invalidates regarding blood. That's an animal offering. Flower offering, although it atones, yet still you see that if it's brought inside, it's still not going to be invalidated. So therefore, you can't say the reason why Oila is going to be kosher because not Mechaper, because Mechaschait is Mechaper and still it doesn't become possible when it goes in, and therefore from a Kavol Chaymer, you cannot say, according to Rabbanon, that Asher will be like Chattas, that it's going to become possible, because if Oila doesn't become possible, for sure not Asher. Now on this last point, the Gemara says, why did it say Minchas Chayte Techiach, Vele Mechattas Oif Techiach? It should have said, which would be a more ideal response, that to say that the bird chatas would disprove, because at least there, not a flower offering like the minchas chayte, it's at least a blood offering, which would be more appropriate to refute and say, well, you have even a blood offering of a chatas that's brought inside, and yet still it doesn't become possible, so you can't say that that's the reason why Oila is kasher, so therefore a kavol chaymer to asham. Why say minchas chayte when you could say chatas oif? So the Gemara, no, because chatas oif bayid reb oveni. Actually, the case of chatas oif is not clear, because it's actually a question Bavan had said, where if, let's say, someone brings in the blood of the chatas oif when it's still in the neck of the bird. The reason for that, why it would be in the neck of the bird, is because actually there's no kabbalah by the chatas oif, which is received in the vessel. As the Gemara says, that this was a question he asked later on, would it become invalid like that or not? And since it wasn't resolved, we couldn't use that as a refutation, because actually maybe chatas oif actually would become possible. So then we would say the same thing would apply to Asham. So rather we use Minchas Chayte, where although it's a Mechaper, but still it doesn't become possible. So therefore that can't be the reason why Oila is not going to be possible. And therefore we said that's a Kavol Chaymer to Asham. Now the Gemara however asks, but Velifreich, but we could still ask on the source of the Rabbanon, who say that Asham cannot become possible when it goes inside because of the Kavol Chaymer. But Malam Minchas Chayte, how could you learn that from the flower offering of the sinner? Shekin Einem Min Zevach, it's not a type of a carbon. So maybe that's why it's kosher. In contrast, by an asham, and it's a carbon, and it's also atones, maybe they would become possible when it goes inside. So the Gemara no oila techiach, because oila is a zevach, it's a type of an animal offering, and yet when it goes inside, it does not become possible. V'chazradin, and then the logic goes back and forth. Loi rizek rizeh, this one's characteristic is not like this one. Loi rizek rizeh, and neither is the other one like the other one, meaning we have two things we're learning out of Kavol Chaymer from oila and minchas chayte. Now, neither one's unique characteristic is the same. Hatzara Shavashabim, what's the common denominator that we find by both of them? Shein Kachay Kachim, they're the holiest of the holiest. They're Chatas and Oila. V'nichnas Lefnim K'sherin. But yet, when the element goes in, whether the flower element or the blood element, when it goes in, it's going to be kosher. So, Avnei Avei Ashram, so therefore, that's what the Rabban says. I'll also include the Karban Ashram. Shu Kodesh Kodeshim, it's from the highest category of holiness of karbonas, and still v'nichnas dam lefnim kasher, and if its blood is going to go inside, it's going to be kasher. That's the source for the opinion of the Rabbanim. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Mibar Nishla Rav Ashi, still the lifrach, we could still refute the limud, the teaching, because we could say malatzad hashavashben. What do we find by the common denominator of both minchas chayte and oila? Shekein elhen kitzva. They don't have a set amount, the minimum amount that one has to spend to buy that carbon. In contrast, by the carbon ashram, there's a minimum amount of money that has to be spent in buying the carbon ashram, and therefore that's a stringency it has over oila and chatas oif. Maybe although they do not become possible when they're brought inside the hechel, maybe ashram would. So what's the kavol chaymer? Maybe the question is back on the rabbanan. Why don't they say like Rabbi Eliezer that kechatas ka'ashram, that ashram should also be possible when its blood is brought inside the hechel? So El Rav says the Gemara, you're right. Hainu tamed rabbanan. The reason of the rabbanan is from a different source. Damakra. The pasuk says Imba Yikram, and this is in Perek Vav Pasuk of Gimel that it starts of a cholchatas in the karbachatas that asher yuva midama that it will be brought from its blood as the pasuk continues the el hoyel ma'ir into the sanctuary lachaber b'kodesh to atone for the holiness loy tiachal it should not be eaten but ish tisarvus can have to be burnt in the fire, which means to say a few different halachas, one of the chatas apanimis, but also that if any blood of a chatas achitzaina, which a chatas that it's supposed to be kept in the outside, brought inside, it's going to have to be burnt. But one thing you see that it says midama from its blood, that's where the halach applies. Damashal zu means to say this halach only applies to the blood of a karban chatas, v'loy damashal achar, not, it's a miut, and not the blood of any other carbon, including an asham. That's the source of Rabban where they say it only applies to chatas. But the Idach Rabbi Eliezer would tell you, no, dama, the exclusionary term of its blood, is not saying its blood, but not the blood of a different carbon, because no, asham is kachatz ka'asham is also included in this invalidation. It means its blood v'loy besara, and not its flesh. Where if part of the meat of the carbon chatas goes inside the sanctuary, that's not going to invalidate it. Only if the blood goes inside will it invalidate. But the Idach, they would tell the Rabbanon that dam, dama, It could have said blood. Instead, it said its blood. So you learn two things, blood and not meat, and its blood, which is chatas, and not that of Asher. But Vidach Rabbi Eliezer would tell you, Dam Damale Darsh, he doesn't expound blood, its blood. In other words, the pasuk cannot have just said, and any chatas which is brought inside the El Maid is going to be possible, because it had to tell us blood and to exclude the meat. And once it's saying blood, it's very normal for the pasuk to say its blood, and you're not going to learn another ribuy, another exclusionary term from its blood and not some other blood, and therefore he doesn't exclude Ashem from there, and therefore he says, like his pasuk, kechatas ka'ashem, that Ashem has the same aloha like chatas, and can't just rabban, and they learn a dama v'loy dam acher. Now going back to the similar discussion of the previous daf, relating to the aloha of our Mishnah, the Gemara says, Bisham l'rabban, we understand according to the opinion of Rabbanan, the Amri, that they say, Ashem sheshachtu sheloy lishmai kasher. They only say there's two karbanas that if it's Lord of Shalashim, that's possible. Chatas and Pesach. But Asham is like all other karbanas, it's going to be kasher. So, according to the opinion of Rabbanan, we could understand, Hainu de Iskish mincha lechatas, mincha l'asham. We could understand why the Pasuk, as we're going to shortly quote, compares a flour offering both to a sin offering and to a guilt offering. The Tanakh Linda Bryce, Rabbi Shimon Ami says, the Pasuk says, in Vayikra, which is Tomar Karban Mincha, it says, Kaidish Kadasham hi, kechatasu ka'ashim. It's the holiest of the holies. It's like a sin offering and a guilt offering. Now, that Reb Shimon says, why is the pasuk equating the menachas to chatas and to ashim? The reason why he equates it to both of them is to tell you that there are some menachas that are like a chatas and some are like a ashim. How so? Minchas chayte hare kechatas. A sin flour offering is like the sin offering of a carbon. Which tells us, lafikach, therefore, kimtze shaloi lishma psula. If one does, in the procedure of a karban mincha, which is a flour offering, there is a process called kimitza when the kohen takes a fist offering, and that's what gets sacrificed on mezbeach. If he does the kimitza, not for the namesake of this chatas offering, rather like as if it's an ayla, then it's going to be pasul. Because just like a chatas is pasul shaloi lishma, so to the minchas chayt is pasul shaloi lishma. Whereas minchas nedava, not that of a sin offering, but rather that someone's donating a flour offering to the Beis HaMikdash, harehi ka'ashem, that's the type of mincha that's like an ashem. Mafikr, therefore, kimtze shalei lishma k'shera. If it's the fistful is done, not for its namesake, like an oila, it's going to be kasher. So that we can understand according to the Rabbana who say, yeah, because chatas is pasul, ashem is kasher when it's done shalei lishma. But El Rebliyaz, according to Rebliyaz, that since he equates Chatzis and Ashim have the same halacha, so Lama Hilchasa Iskish Mincha Lechatzis and Mincha LeAshim, so that what utility is the pasuk comparing the Mincha to Chatzis and to Ashim, if Ashim has the same halacha, it's like a Chatzis. So it seems to be superfluous to say that it's compared to Ashim. Says Gemara, no lechi idach Reb Shimon. According to Reb Eliezer, actually what the pasuk is teaching over here is for a different teaching of Reb Shimon. That's not like Luna Mishnah Masechtas Menachas. Says Shaloi, that if a person did not sanctify the kaimitz, the fist offering of the flour, but kli sharis in a service vessel that's in the Beis HaMikdash, so psula. So then it's going to be invalid. Why? Because the menachas, the flour offerings, are equated to the animal sacrifices. Like we have Masechta Zvachim, then we have Masechta Menachas. They parallel the four services by a regular carbon, which is that the kmitza, taking the fistful of the flour, is similar to the slaughtering, which is the procedure to get to the thing that's atoning, which by an animal is the blood, and by the flour offering is that fistful of the flour. Then putting the kmitz into the klisharis correlates to the receiving of the blood in the klisharis, in the vessel. Transporting conscious to the halacha by the carbon. And haktara, the sacrificing of the flour offering on the top, that the fistful on the top of the mizbeach, it correlates to the zrika, the throwing of the blood on the mizbeach. So therefore, if one doesn't put the kmitza into a klisharis, he's lacking the halacha of Kabbalah. That's the halacha, that's the opinion of Tanakam. Rabbi Shimon Nach, however, Rabbi Shimon says, if the kohen goes and transported by hand the kmitza until the mizbeach and the sacrifice like that, then it's going to be kosher. It doesn't require that the element of Kabbalah of it being put into the vessel. Now, Amar Yehuda Bar Rabbi Chiya says, "My time with Reb Shimon. What's the reason Reb Shimon seemingly should have the same parallel as it is by Zachem?" So on that he says, because Amakra the pasuk says by the mincha it says kodesh kodeshim hi. As we brought this pasuk just before, but here we're showing it. It's for a different drasha. It's the holies of the holies, kechatas ukaasham, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. Now, for that reason, the mincha is compared to the chatas and the asham, to tell you, because they don't have the same halachas. How so? To tell you, bala evdam, the kohen is coming to do the avodah of halacha, of transporting the kmitza on its way to sacrifice on the top of his beach.
If he's coming to do it biyad, by hand, not with a kli, you could do that. But what you do is, you go and you do it with the right hand, the one that the kmitzah is in, kachatas, like the karbachatas. What does it mean, like the chatas? Just like when the zrika of the damachatas is done by hand with the finger and the right hand of the kohen, like it says by the karbachatas, it says, which we expound later on, Perek Beis and Nafchav Dalmet Alf. It says, Be'etzboi v'nosan, which teaches us that the placing of the blood should only be with the right hand with this finger. Because wherever it says with the finger and the coin, it has to be the right hand. So therefore, you could do it by hand, but it has to be the right hand when you're doing it by the kmitza. Just like by the chatas, you could also do it by hand. Now, if let's say he's coming, however, to do it bekli, with a vessel, so then he could, but evde besmal, then he could even do it with the left hand. Meaning to say he could transport the vessel that he sanctified, the kmitz inside of it, with his left hand on his way going to the mizbeach, and he could take it from his left hand in the vessel to put it onto the fire on top of the mizbeach, kashem, like the guilt offering. Meaning, just like the throwing of the blood of the asham, which is thrown from a vessel onto the mizbeach, because that's actually not done with the finger, because the halacha of the finger is only said by the karmachatas. So what Reb Shimon is saying is that it's kosher even with the left hand by all karbanas except for the karmachatas, which we say later on within the second parak over there, where if one throws with the left hand, the Tanakhama says it's going to be pasul. Reb Shimon, who we're quoting over here, says kosher except for chatas, because Reb Shimon says that there's two things that are required by the chatas, the finger and the kain, which we learn from Mitzayir, where it says etzba and kahuna, and it's the right hand, where it says v'tavol ha-kain be'etzboi hayimanis, so too by the karmachatas. So by the throwing of the blood of all karbanas, it doesn't say etzba, it only says kahuna, except for chatas. So chatas is done with the finger, is done with the right hand. All other karbanas, which doesn't say the finger, doesn't require the right hand, it can be done even with the left hand, and therefore, that's what Reb Shimon is saying. What's the comparison to kachatas ka'asham? Kachatas is saying that if you want to do it by hand, you could, but then like the chatas were done by hand with the right hand. If you want to do it to kli, then you could do it even with the left hand, like all other karbanas, like the asham, which is done even with the left hand, because it's done with the kli, which doesn't have the limud of the hand, which has to be the right hand. So therefore, that's the source. According to Reb Eliezer, it's not difficult on him what we compare it to asham. You're right, chatas and asham have the same halachas. But the one element that they're different is if it's done by hand or by kli, which teaches the right hand or left hand. That's what we're teaching regarding the two different options the person has when he wants to do the halacha on the kmitza of the flower offering. That has to get more, but how do we resolve the contradiction? Then Reb Shimon, high crow, this pasuk, mapik le lahachi, umapik le lahachi. We brought it before as the source for what would be difficult, according to Reb Eliezer, which we said that's like the Rabbanan, where it's on the one hand, it's like chatas, which is pasul shalai lishma, and then on the ashram, that is kasha shalai lishma. And then the same pasuk, Reb Shimon is teaching a different source, and Mishnah Maseches Menachos teaching a different halacha, which we said that is like Reb Eliezer. So how does he use the pasuk for both halachas? So says the Gemara, Ikka kro likad Reb Yehuda b'reid Reb Chi Yehuda asa. The primary interpretation of the pasuk according to Reb Shimon is this last drasha that we said, which works out even according to Reb Eliezer. But the halacha that a flower offering is a valid shalai lishma is not being learned out from this pasuk, because then that would sound like Rabbanan, that however asham would be kasher shalai lishma. No, the halacha that minchas chayte is pasher shalai lishma is according to everybody, and Reb Shimon learns that halacha taim achrinahu. That's a different reason, not from this pasuk. Why? Chatas taim amai. What's the reason why karma chatas is possible when it's done shalai lishma? The chsimba and the gear says who? Because it says in the pasuk who, which we always say bab yasi, hey, has to be exactly as its essence. If you change it, it's invalid. Minchas chayti, not mixibba who. So that's the source. And Minchas chayti also says who by Shmiyas HaKoyel in Sefer VaYikra, where he talks about a person swearing falsely regarding knowing testimony. So since it says who over there by that carpet too, so therefore we know that's going to be possible if it's done, Shalal Shema, but it's not learned out from the pasuk Gechatz Ka'asham, which would be like Rabban Alak Rabbi Yazir. No, that halacha Reb Shimon actually learns from somewhere else. And therefore, there's no proof to be not like Reb Eliezer. Now, the Gemara asks, "Ul Rabbanan," going back onto this halacha of their disagreement in the halacha of our Mishnah, which they disagree with Reb Eliezer. Lamai hilchasa iskish asham lachatas. So then, what do they do with this pasuk? It says kechatas ka'asham. They're not expounding it as to say asham has the same halacha, because they say actually asham shalashma is kasher. So, what is the pasuk equating the two of them for?
Says the Gemara, Lemelcha, to tell you, Machatas to una smicha. Just like the sin offering requires smicha, like it says Bechatas in the Yikra Perek Dal, Vesamach Yodel al Resha Chatas. He has to lean and support the head of the Karban Chatas before it's sacrificed. Af Ashim toit smicha, that's what's for that halacha to learn out, that the Ashim also requires smicha, but not for the halacha of Shalei Lishma. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of a Mishnah. Another opinion mentioned on Daf Bezim and Aleph, Yesib ben Chayni Oime, he says, Haneshchatin b'chulu, he says, not only like the Tanakhama said, that if one slaughters a Pesach Shalei Lishma or Chata Shalei Lishma, that's going to be possible. He says, if another carbon is slaughtered for Pesach or for Chatas, that which is Shalei Lishma, that's also going to be possible. Now, on that, Amr B'yechin, it says, Yesib ben Chayni, who we just quoted, Rebbe Yezer, who we're going to shortly quote, Amr Davar Echad, they both say the same thing. And that is, Rebbe Eliezer also invalidates other karbanos that are slaughtered for a Pesach during the time of the 14th of Nisan, or if it's slaughtered for a Chatas on any other day of the year, which from a brisa later on, the Gemara will show where Rebbe Yochanan inferred this opinion. However, Rabbah, he disagrees with Rebbe Yochanan, and he says, no, Bacherim l'shem Chatas pligi. When it's other karbanos for the namesake that's being slaughtered Shalei Lishma as a Chatas, that's where Yesi Ben Chayin and Rebbe Eliezer disagree. Because actually, Rebbe Eliezer does not invalidate only when it's Acherim, other Karbanos L'Shem Pesach. But actually, Acherim, other Karbanos L'Shem Chatas, he actually says would be Kasher. So says the Gemara, the time like learned the Brisa, which both Rabbah and Rebbe Yechanan inferred their opinions from this Brisa, as we'll prove later on through the text of the Brisa to show where Rebbe Yechanan was coming from and where Rabbah was coming from in his disagreement with Rebbe Yechanan. Says the Brisa as follows. HaPesach Sha'avish Nasai. The Karban Pesach, which was already past its first year, which now it's not fit anymore to be a Karban Pesach, because it has to be within its first year. So then, its default halacha is that of a Shlamim. As the Gemara said on the Chesem Adal, on Chesem Abayis, from Psukim, where it's essentially like a Karban Shlam right now. And Ushchatei Bizmanei Lishmai, but however, since the person had designated as a Karban Chatas, although it was really a Shlam now, he goes and he slaughters it in its designated time, which is on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, for the sake, meaning it's essentially like he's slaughtering a carbon shlamim to be a carbon pesach. He thinks it's a carbon pesach because he's designated, but the truth is it's already a shlamim because it already passed the first year. So he's essentially slaughtering a carbon shlamim to be a carbon pesach. Or so too the chen hashecher achem, if someone slaughters any other carbon, l'shem pesach bizmanoi, for the namesake of being a carbon pesach, in its time of pesach, which is on the afternoon of 14th of Nisan, shabliyaze paisel. He invalidates the carbon, says it's pasel. Rabbi Shua says, like by any other carbon, when you do it Shalei Lishma, it's going to be kasher. So we have Machlikas, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua. So we see clearly that Rabbi Eliezer is so far halfway saying, like Yesu ben Chayni, that if someone slaughters Achim, L'Shem Pesach, it's going to be possible. Now, the Brisa continues in the dialogue. Amri Bishua, he says, Im B'Shayim Meisashana, if any other day of the year, She'ein kasher Lishmai, where the Karban Pesach is not kasher if it's slaughtered for it to be a Karban Pesach. As the Gemara teaches him, Sechtem Pesachim Dav Samachal Omer Alf, if someone slaughters the Karban Pesach before noon on the 14th of Nisan, it's going to be possible, like it says, Bein Arbaim. And many times the Pasuk repeats that the designated time of slaughtering the Karban Pesach is only on the 14th of Nisan. Like we said in our Mishnah, everyone agrees that the Karban Pesach that's slaughtered, that not in its designated time, it's not going to be kosher. And more, we said that it's slaughtered Shalei Lishma, it's going to be possible. So, says Rabbi Yeshua as follows. He says that if any other day of the year, it's not kosher lishma, it's not a kosher carbon, even if it's done for Karban Pesach, if it's not exactly in the time when it's supposed to be. Yet still achem kshem lishma, still other carbon is that is slaughtered to be a Karban Pesach on any other day of the year. Even according to Rebbe Eliezer, he agrees that it's going to be kosher, because he only disagrees bizmanoi, in the time of the 14th of Nisan, as we learned explicitly in the Mishnah. But any other day of the year, so there's not going to be any designation of a carbon Pesach on any other carbon. So if someone's slaughtering on the 14th of Shvat, this should be a carbon Pesach, everyone would agree that it's going to be a kosher carbon, whatever this carbon is, let's say a carbon oil that is slaughtering for Shem Pesach, it's going to be kosher. So it says Rabbi Shua, the following Kalvachem. So Bezmanoi, Shu Kosher Lishmoi, so we see that in this designated time on the 14th of Nisan, on that afternoon, it's more lenient that time period. Because there, when you slaughter Karban Pesach Lishmai, it's going to be kosher. So, Eina Din Sheyechshur Achem Lishmai, isn't it a Kabbal Chayim, that for sure, others that are slaughtered for its namesake, for sure should be kosher? Because other days of the year, we see that it's more limited.
Because although others are slaughtered in Shmaisa, there it's kosher, and for itself it's not. So on the 14th of Nisan, when it is kosher for itself, isn't it a kavach hamishta? For sure should be kosher when others are slaughtered for its name? He says, oh, maybe I could tell you exactly the opposite. In other words, what he means to illustrate them, he says, if you're coming to answer me with kalvachimers, I could switch it to a different type of conclusion. And I could tell you something that would be an impossible conclusion. Because I could show you kalvachimers that would validate a Karban Pesach bizmanoi shaloi lishma, which everyone agrees, as we said in the Mishnah, shaloi lishma but Pesach is going to be possible. Because I could tell you as follows. Uma'am b'shayim b'shashana, if on all the other days of the year, she'enu kasher lishmai, like you said, not kosher when it's Lord Lishma. Yet kosher hu l'shem acherim, this way he switches to Kal v'chaim. He says, yet still Pesach is kosher when it's slaughtered for other types of animals. You slaughter Pesach somewhere in the middle of Shvat, when it's like a shlamim, if you slaughter it to be a carbon oila, it's going to be kosher. Like any carbon shalai l'shma is kosher. So b'zmanai shu kosher l'shmai, so then in its designated time, when it's kosher l'shmai, ain't a din shiyuch shel l'shem acherim, isn't a Kal v'chaimer that for sure should be kosher when it's slaughtered for others? Because if on other days of the year where it's not kosher l'shmai, yet still it's kosher l'shem acherim, so on the 14th of Nisan when it's kosher l'shmai, for sure should be kosher l'shem acherim. But then says Rabbi Eliezer would come out v'yuch shel pesach ba'bo asa shel l'shmai. You'd be validating a carbon pesach on the 14th of Nisan when it's slaughtered shel l'shmai. And on v'kachat ha'imah, that's what you would say. You think you'd expound such a kal v'chaimah and say it's kosher? No, everyone agrees that that's possible. Moreover, says Rabbi Eliezer, but even in the kal v'chaimah that you expounded, I could refute that kal v'chaimah. Besides that, I could show you that a different kal v'chaimah would refute the whole point of logic. But I could show you even in the kal v'chaimah itself a refutation. Mali huchshuru acher m'shayim meisashan l'shmai. What are you going to tell me from a kal v'chaimah? You want to make a comparison that when you have other karbanas that are slaughtered on any other day of the year to be a karban Pesach, then it's kosher, because it doesn't validate it as a Pesach, only even according to Rabbi Eliezer, only on the time of Pesach, which is on the 4th of Nisan. Shekeinu kosher l'shem acherim, it says Rabbi Eliezer, yeah, but that's because you have Pesach on other days of the year, that's also kosher l'shem acherim. In contrast, the yuchshur acherim bizman l'shmai, do you think you're going to kosher, you're going to say it's valid, others in its designated time when they're being done as a carbon Pesach, shekein hu pasul l'shem acherim, but it itself is also pasul for others on the 14th of Nisan. So therefore, you can't tell me that there's a kal v'chaimer, because no, maybe other days of the year acherim are kosher for its namesake because it is kosher for others' namesake. On contrast, the 14th of Nisan, where yeah, we all agree that when you slaughter it for the Pesach for others is not kosher, maybe others for it are also not going to be kosher, like Rabbi Eliezer says, not like Rabbi Yeshua. Now, it's from this point that Rabbi Yechanan infers here his opinion. He says that just like Rabbi Eliezer invalidates Acherim L'Shem Pesach, so he also invalidates Acherim L'Shem Chatzis. Why? What's his proof? Because what's the reason of Rabbi Eliezer? Because he says, just like it is possible for others, so to others are possible for it. So that same logic applies to Chatzis. Just like Chatzis is possible for others, so to others would be possible when it's done for it. However, as we'll see, Rabba is medayik from the end of the Braisa, where he understands that Rabbi Eliezer retracts from this kal v'chaimer, and he actually learns out his halacha from a different source, and therefore he actually ultimately ends up agreeing that Acherim L'Shem Chatzis is going to be kosher. As the Braisa continues, Amla Rabbi Yeshua says, Im Kain, if that's the case, if you invalidate others that are slaughtered l'shmai, meaning Karman Oila, let's say, as a Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, Hayrata Koyach Pesach, you're diminishing the strength of the severity of the Karman Pesach, V'nesata Koyach Meshlamim, and you're giving more strength of severity to the Karman Shlamim. Why? Because every other day of the year, which is the Zman of Shlamim, a Pesach that's slaughtered for the namesake of a Shlamim is Kasha. And today, which is the Zman of Pesach, every Shlam that's slaughtered for the namesake of Pesach is pasul. So it comes out that the machshava of shaloi lishma is stronger and more severe by shlam than by Pesach. Problem with that is, we find the pasuk that's more stringent by Pesach than by shlam, because by Pesach it says who. And whereas by shlam and all the karbanos, it doesn't say who, and therefore they're kosher shaloi lishma. But the way you're describing, it comes out that shlam is more severe, because shlamim, when it's done l'shem Pesach, when it's done shaloi lishma, you tell me it's pasul, but yet Pesach, when it's done on other day of the year, which is the Zman of Shlamim, you're saying it's going to be kosher. So it says the Gemara, you're right. Chazar Rabbi Eliezer v'dan dinachar. So
Rabbi Eliezer was refuted by Rabbi Shua's response. So he went to bring a different source for his halacha. Says as follows: Metzinu Meisa Pesach Bashlam. We find that the leftover carbon Pesach, when it can be brought as a Pesach, and the more it's brought as a carbon Shlam, the ain Meisa Shlam of Pesach, but a leftover carbon Shlam is not brought as a carbon Pesach. So therefore, we see that Pesach has more of a relationship to the Shalalishma of the Shlamim than Shlam to Pesach, and therefore says Rabbi Eliezer as follows. If we find a Pesach where it's connected to Shlam, it's left of its brother to Shlam. Yet Shachtai Bizman Lushram Shlam Pasal, but yet in spite of that, if one slaughter and carbon Pesach and having in mind the Shlamim in the time of Yudal Nisan, it's going to be Pasal. So says Rabbi Yez the following Kabbalah. So Shlamim, She'emai Sarim Ba Pesach, it's left of its not brother's Pesach, doesn't have so much of a connection to be like as if it's considered carbon Pesach. So if you slaughtered for the namesake of Pesach in the time of 14th of Nisan, in the Din Shiyu B'Sulim, is Kavu Chaim. Of course, that should be Pasul. Because even Pesach, which has relation to Shlamim, is Pasul when it's done for Shlamim. So Shlamim, which has nothing with Pesach, when it's done for the name of Pesach, at least in the time of Pesach, which is the 14th of Nisan, for sure should be Pasul. However, as we return to Amud Beis, I'm not really sure he responded back to Eliezer. He says, no, I can disprove your logic. We find the leftover carbon chatas is brought as a carbon ayla, as we learned in the Brayis of Masechta Tumur Daf Chaf Gimel and Beis, which was expounded by Yada HaKoyin, that he said that anything that's brought from the leftover of chatas and leftover of asham should be used to purchase a carbon ayla for the kites and mizbeach when there's nothing else being sacrificed on the mizbeach. How do you have a leftover carbon chatas? Because generally you say chatois are mesas, they die. For example, if someone separate a certain amount of money to purchase carbon chatos and he had leftover funds, or if he had designated two carbonless chatos that one of them should be insurance for the other one, which the Gemara says in Tumur Daf Chav Dalet Alav, he atones with one of them and the other one goes out to graze, and it's from those funds that he buys a carbon oila. Now the ain maisa oila v'chatos, but a leftover carbon oila does not get brought as a carbon chatos. And still, says Rabbi Shua, so then umachatas, based on your logic, we should say as follows. Umachatas shemisar ba'ayla, if the karmachatas, which has something of a relationship to ayla, because it's leftover, is brought as an ayla, shachlu shem ayla psula, and yet if you slaughter as an ayla, it's going to be pasul. So ayla, she'emisar ba'chatas, the karmach ayla, where it's leftover, is not brought as a chatas, shachlu shem chatas, so if one slaughters it as a chatas, ain't a din shetei psula, isn't a kavachem, that should be pasul? And if you're going to expound such a type of a kavachema, then you should expound the same thing, oil l'shem chatas. Now, it's from this point of the Brisa that Rabbi infers his opinion from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer does not respond and says, you're right, I also invalidate others that are slaughtered for shem chatas. Obviously, it's because Rabbi Eliezer retracted from what he originally said, and he holds that only achem l'shem pesach is possible, but achem l'shem chatas is actually going to be kasha, which is not like the opinion mentioned of Amesh Nav Chanan. He says differently. Now, however, but regarding Rabbi Shua's response to refute Rabbi Eliezer's logic, Amar Rabbi Eliezer says, "Loi, no, it's not a percha, it's not a refutation. If you say by the karma chatas, where it's not going to invalidate an oila that's slaughtered for its sake, shekein ksher l'shma kalashana kula, is because we find that it's a more lenient halacha where the l'shma of chatas is valid the whole entire year. So that's why an oila that's slaughtered l'shem chatas is going to be kasher." Time of a Pesach, in contrast, by Pesach, she'in a kasha l'shma el bezmane, where it's only valid to become Pesach only on that afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, ha'ilavu pasul l'shmai, since it's pasul for its namesake the rest of the year, dinu sh'yif slochem l'shmai. So the logic would also tell us that others that are slaughtered for its namesake would also be pasul l'shmai, because it itself is also pasul l'shmai really the rest of the year. So for sure, others that are going to be slaughtered for its namesake, on contrast to chatas, where it is kasher l'shmai the whole year, so it could also be kasher l'shmai shel chatas. But by Pesach, we find that it's possible the whole entire year, even l'shmai, so others that it's being slaughtered l'shmai on the 14th of Nisan, would make sense that it's different than chatas, and achem l'shem chatas says, Rabbi Eliezer, unlike Rabbi Shua, is going to be possible. That was the machlekes Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer in this halacha, but what we wanted was that we showed that the different opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba regarding what is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, is it exactly like the opinion of Chanan our Mishnah, that it's going to be both Achem L'Shem Chatas and Achem L'Shem Pesach that's going to be possible, just like Pesach and Chatas for others are possible, or as we had this machlekes Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan, is it only by Chatas and not only by Pesach and not by Chatas, or both by Pesach and Chatas, when Achem our Lishman is going to be possible? And the Gemara continues, Allah of Mishnah, the Shimon Achi Azariah Omer, another opinion mentioned in our Mishnah was, Shimon Achi Azariah, the brother of Azariah, he said that this Allah of the Tanakama, and by all other karbanos except for Pesach and Chatos is going to be kosher. It's just lo'ol b'al m'shem chayva. He says, well, it depends. If it's for something that's a higher level carbon than it, and you're doing it shalei lishmoy for that namesake, then it's kosher. For something lower than it, it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi masni mishmid Rav Yechonon, he taught nim Rav Yechonon, Rav Acha b'rid Rav masni mishmid Rav Yechonon, he taught this halacha nim Rav Yechonon, that my time in the Shimon Achi Azariah, what's the reason, what's the source for his halacha? Damakra, because the Pasuk teaches him a Yikra, it says, V'lei yichalu es kocha b'nei Yisrael, they should not desecrate the holy things of the Jewish people, Esa sh'yirimu l'Hashem, that which they lift up to Hashem. What one could read this pasuk as like is that there is no chil v'loy chal, there's no desecration of the kachem and the bnei Yisrael if it's asherim al Hashem, if it's something that is lifting it up to a designation that's higher than what it is, which tells us b'mur mehen ein maschalan. If the change of shina kodesh of shalei lishma, if it's something higher than it, then it's not desecrating it. But namach men maschalan, but lower than it, it is desecrating. Now, the Gemara asks, is this pasuk really coming to teach, as we just said, for Shimon Achi Azariah's halacha? But we need it for the halacha that Shmuel had told us. Amar Shmuel, he said, where do we know that if someone eats untithed produce, that he gets killed? Shmuel says in the pasuk, they should not be machal, the kachem, which could also mean other things of kachem, like truma, of the Jewish people, that which Esa Sheirimu Lashem. But what is the future tense? That which they will separate to Hashem. It means to say, "Basidim litrim akasam edav." But the pasuk talks about something that will eventually be tayrim, will be separated, will be sanctified. What's something that will be having truma taken off from it? That's tevel untithed produce, like it says, yirimu in the future. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin concludes this exposition in Perikel and Nesraf, and it says, and we learn that, Exer Shav from Truma, where here it says Chil and there it says Chil. Just like over there it says, Umesu Baikia Chalu, they will die because they desecrated it. Here also it says, the Lashon of Lo Yichalu, and it's referring to Asher Yirimu, which will, so we see that if someone eats Tevel, which will ultimately have Truma taken off from it, that now is considered to be Mechalad, and therefore gets death, like by Truma, where it also says Chil, and the person gets killed by heaven. So that's what the pasuk is coming to teach, not Shimon Achi Azariah's teaching. Says the Gemara, Im Kain, but if that would be the case, that we would only coming to expound Reb Shimon Achi Azariah's teaching and not more than that, which would be coming to teach regarding if it's higher or lower, then Lichtev Kra Asher Humu, then the pasuk should have said that it's not considered a chil of the kachim Asher Humu Lashem, which was elevated, meaning when it was mechul higher, that's not considered a chil. My Asher Yirimu, but why is it used the future tense, that which will be separated? Shema Minatarti, obviously, is coming to teach us two halachas to also expound this teaching of Shmuel regarding the teaching of someone eats Tevel, that he's Chayiv Misa. Now, Bayreb Zera asked, regarding this teaching of Shimon Achi Azariah, that if it's for something higher designation, then it's going to be kosher. So, this that it said was Ksherin Ve'ein Meratzin, was he saying that it's going to be valid, but it's still not going to fulfill the obligation of the owner, like the Tanakama? And therefore, the only thing that Shimon is arguing is regarding if it's done for a lower designation, where then he says, not like the Tanakama, that's going to be totally possible. And V'chi Polik, B'chada Polik, is only arguing on one element, that of the lower designation. When he said it's going to be kosher for something higher than it, he said it's going to be valid, and it's even going to fulfill the obligation of the owner. And therefore, Ubitarti Pligi, he disagrees on two points. First of all, if it's Lashem Gvaya for a high designation, it's going to be totally kosher. And if it's lower, it's going to be totally pasul, which on two points is not like Rabbanan. Because Rabbanan say by both of them it's kosher, but not fulfilling the obligation. And here he's disagreeing by the higher, he's saying it's fulfilling obligation. And below it, says not even kosher. So Mabaye, and Mitim Assem says Rabbi Zeker, he says Tashema, let's bring a raya from the halacha of our Mishnah. From the fact that the Mishnah picks in Shimon Achi Azariah's case, to explain his teaching, he said the following case, Habachayr v'hamayser, regarding the firstborn animal and the Maiser Behema, the tenth animal of the new animals, Sheshachton l'shem shlamim kashem. If it was slaughtered for a higher designation, that of a shlamim, it's going to be kasher. Shlamim sheshachton l'shem b'chayr l'shem maiser psulim, but if a carbon shlamim was slaughtered for a b'chayr maiser, which is a lower level, then it's going to be pasul. Says Abaya, v'isa g'dayitach k'sherin umiratzin, if you're going to think to say like the option that we said, that when he said a higher designation, it's going to be kosher, and it's also going to provide appeasement, it's going to fulfill his obligation, b'chayr, but a firstborn animal, which we're saying is going to be kosher if he did it l'shem shlamim, baritzuyuhu, is it something that provides appeasement? It doesn't. It doesn't atone for him for anything. It doesn't. It just has to be done. If it's not, it's lost. It doesn't have to fulfill any obligation to bring a new firstborn. Ella, obviously, k'shein ve'emaratzen. Obviously, the teaching that Shimon is telling us is that it's kosher without ritzui, because Bechor doesn't have the element of ritzui. And therefore, I'm in the safe of the fact that the later teaching of example of Shimon regarding HaBechor v'Ameisa that was slaughtered for Shlomim is k'shein ve'emaratzen, is telling you only a halacha that's kosher without ritzui. So then Reisha, so then the previous case examples of when you do kachim kalim for which was slaughtered for something higher by kachim kachim, nami kishen ve'emaratz. It's also going to be kasher without ritzui, which is therefore only disagreeing with the Tanakama regarding lower. But higher, he agrees, it's kasher, but it's not all about shem chayim, it's not providing ritzui. Which the Gemara says, no, mi di iriv, is there any proof? Hakad isa v'hakad isa. When it says by Bechor that's going to be kasher, it means it's kasher for whatever it needs. You're right, it doesn't need ritzui. But when it says kasher by kachi kachim, it was for its halacha, which is telling you that's even going to be maratza for the obligation. Therefore, there's no raya. Each one has what its element is. Because that case doesn't have ritzui, that means every case not ritzui. No, that's not a proof. But then the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, elamai kamash malan, then what exactly is this case of Bechor Meiser teaching us if it's not coming to reveal, as we thought, to prove regarding the case of the Reisha to say that it's only kasher ve'emaratzen? What are you going to tell me? That's coming to teach us regarding higher and lowers? Do you think we need to even explain regarding when you do a lower one for a higher one? Because that's what you're saying. Bechor Meiser, which is slaughtered for a higher one of Shlom. You don't need to. Tanina, we already learned this in the first cases that were brought by Shimon Achi Azariah, because the Mishnah said, Ketzad, how so? What's this example of higher and lower? So it said, if you slaughter the highest level kabbanas for the lower level kabbanas, an oila as a shlamim, so then it's not going to be kasher. You do kashim kalim for kashim kashim, that's going to be kasher. So what do you need to say another category of Bechor Meiser for shlamim? If not, as we thought to bring a raya, to say that it's only with kasher but without ritzui. So the Gemara says no. Now the tema, what would you say if not for the case of Bechor Meiser? You would say kashim kashim u kashim kalim hu deikah gvayv nanach. These are two separate categories. Kachim kachim have certain unique halachas. Kachim kalim are lower level. So you think only there would we separate them and say that these are higher and these are lower. So you do this for that, it's kasher. This for that, it's pasul. Have a kalim loy. But you would think a lighter and a different lighter, or even lighter than a lighter, which is what kachim kalim are lower level kachim. Bechor Meiser are even lower. You would think we're not going to make differentiations. Therefore, we have to say even those cases that also is considered gevaya namach. Well, that says the Gemara, Hanamitinina, but that was also taught in the Mishnah later on, Parakal Tadda Pei Tesamet Alv. We know from that Mishnah, the Bechor is lower than the Shlamim. So we already know that. Why would be necessity of saying our Mishnah, the case of Bechor Meiser, again, if not to reveal, it's only Karshav Emaratzim. Because the Mishnah there teaches, Shlamim Kaidim Es Bechor. Carbon Shlamim comes before a firstborn animal, meaning if both of them are waiting in the courtyard to be sacrificed, the Shlamim comes first. Why? Because although it's Kachim Kalim, it's still higher than Bechor Meiser. It requires four gifts of blood, which are really two that are four, which you throw at the two diagonal corners, which it hits the four walls. Contrast to Bechor is only one gift of blood. Vismicha, so too Shlem requires leaning on the animal, unesachem and libations, whereas as we learn in the Mishnah, Ezim Mukam and Avnavam Amad Beis, that smicha and nesachem do not apply by Bechor, as the Mishnah teaches in Menachis and Perek Shteimidus Dav Tzadim and Beis. So too Shlamim requires a tenufas chaz v'shaik, the uplifting of the breast part and the thigh part of the animal. So you already know from that Mishnah that Shlam is more severe than Bechor. What's the necessity of saying in our Mishnah? So think, well, that's not difficult. Ha ikr. Our Mishnah, in the beginning of the Masechta, is the primary one. That's where we start off explaining, and that's where it's required to say that when you're talking about a psul of shalei l'shma, so then we're telling you that even by kachim kalim, there's going to be higher and lower. Even with Shlamim and Bechor Meiser. Hahi, the Mishnah Perakol Atadir, that's a Grorin Nasva. That was only said because it was told in that Mishnah which animals come before the other one. So in that list, it included also Shlam and Bechor, even though, yes, it was already taught already previously in our Mishnah, and therefore it's not difficult because, yes, our Mishnah is not telling you that it's without Ritzu. It could be there is Ritzu. It's just telling you that in Kalim, there's going to be even between Kachim Kalim and even lower than that, which is Bechor Meiser. And although a Mishnah later on says it, that's only incidentally to the list that is told over there, but the primary halach of that was told over here in our Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of our previous Mishnah. which is speaking about a Korban Pesach, that we said the slaughter Shaloi Lashma is going to be pasul. Our Mishnah speaks about a unique case of that, where HaPesach Sheshachtu Shachris Barba Asa Shaloi Lashmai. We know that a Pesach, the slaughter any other day of the year, it's actually not even a Pesach, it's actually Shlam. So it's going to be kosher, even if it's slaughtered Shaloi Lashma. We had a machlekes regarding if some other carbon is slaughtered for a Pesach during its Zman of Yudal of Nisan. But a Pesach is only going to be pasul Shaloi Lashma on the 14th of Nisan. Now, we would assume that would be in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, because that's the time when it could be slaughtered. That's when it's a Pesach. And the other time, it's actually like a Shlam. But in our Mishnah, we're discussing a carbon Pesach that was slaughtered in the morning of the 14th of Nisan. Shaloi Lashma, not for its namesake. Rather, it's have in mind to be a carbon Eilah. So that says the Mishnah, Rabbi Shua Machshir. Shua says the carbon is going to be kosher. Why? Because he considers it like a Pesach and any other day of the year. And any other day of the year, it's not a Pesach. And a Pesach that's slaughtered, let's say we'll consider Shlam. A Shlam any other day of the year, slaughtered Shaloi Lashma. It's going to be kosher. So here also, it's Ki'ilu Nishchatu B'Shloi Shas, like it was slaughtered on the 13th of Nisan. Because it's, who cares if it's the 14th? It's still not the time, Bizmanai, which is only Bein Arbaim in the afternoon. Whereas Ben Besir Paisal. He says, Pasal, as Gemara is going to explain the reasoning for his opinion, Kilu Nishchat Bein Abayim, as if it was slaughtered in the afternoon, and therefore, if one slaughtered the Korban Pesach, Shaloi Lashma in the afternoon, like we said in the Mishnah, previous Mishnah of Beis Medav, it's going to be Pasal, here also it's going to be Pasal. Now, Amashim Ben Azi, he's going back on the Mishnah, the Beis Medav, the opening Mishnah of Masechta, he says, Mekubal ani mipi shivim v'shnayim zaken. He's coming to disagree with the Tanakhama of that Mishnah. He says, I received the tradition from the 72 elders, which I'm going to explain why he's saying the singular zaken and not zikenim, which is the plural for 72 people. B'yayim sheshiva es Rabbi Eliezer b'yeshiva, when they had appointed Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah to be the Nasi, which was a famous day. Pesachtes Idias has those Mishnayis that were said on that day. That in that day was taught, shekol hazvachim hanacholim, all karbanis which are eaten, which the one that it's excluding is a carbon oiler, which are not eaten, that's the one carbon that's totally burnt on the Mizbeach, that's where the halacha applies, that if it's slaughtered, not for its namesake, kesherin is going to be valid, but it's just not going to fulfill the obligation of the owner. Except for the carbon pesach and nechatas. Now, it sounds really almost exactly the same like Tanna Kama said in the first mission in Masechta. But V'lohoysi Benazir, Benazir did not add on to the words of the Chachamim, of the Tanakhama, of the previous Mishnah, to invalidate, except for the Pesach and the Chatzas, El Ha'ayla. Because he was saying, any carbon that's eaten, then it's kosher, but Lo'al Ba'al Mishnah Mechayva, except for Chatzas and Asham. But oil is not eaten. So the only thing that is adding on is El Ha'ayla, is the Ayla, that it's going to be possible. And still, V'lohoysi Lacham, the Chacham did not agree. They said, no, oil is just like all the other kabbanas, that if it's slaughtered Shaloi Lashma, it's going to be kosher, it's just Lo'ol Ba'am Shem Chayba, it's not going to be possible. Now, the Gemara explains, regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Lazo Amar Ba'ishi, he says, Machshir Hoye Ben Beseira B'Pesach Sheshachtu Shachris Ba'aba Asa Lishmai. Ben Beseira holds that if someone slaughters the Korban Pesach, Lishmai, for its namesake, on the morning of the 14th of Nisan, it's going to be kosher. Because he actually holds the whole entire day is the time of bringing a Korban Pesach. And that's essentially what Rabbi Yishai is explaining. That is why he held in our Mishnah that if one slaughters it Shaloi Lishmai in the morning, it's going to be pasul. Because like we said, a Pesach Bizmani Shaloi Lishmai is pasul. But that's an afternoon. No. It says Rabbi Yishai, that's why he says pasul even in the morning Shaloi Lishmai, because the morning is also it's Zman. Now, but then Rabbi Yoshi has to answer, so my ki'ilu, then why does Ben Beseir mean when he says, as if we're slaughtered Bein Arbaim? What do you mean, as if? You're telling me that the whole day is called Bein Arbaim from the fact that you're saying it would be even kosher Lishmai in the morning. Now, although the Pasuk uses Bein Arbaim, obviously Bein Arbaim, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, that must be that Ben Beseir holds that Bein Arbaim means to say between the evenings, between the end of the previous evening, which is really the morning of today, and the following evening, which is the evening of when Pesach starts, as he explains later on, from Aleisa Shachar, which is the end of the previous night, until Shkia Sachaima. So if that's the case, and that's how obviously Rabbi Yishai is explaining Ben Maseira, so what does Ben Maseira mean when he says, as if, what do you mean? It itself is Bein Arbaim. So on that, Rabbi Yishai explains, you're right, I did the Amr Rabbi Shua Ki'ilu, only because Rabbi Shua said Ki'ilu, because Rabbi Shua was saying, it's as if we're slaughtered on the 13th, so I'm a Iyu, and I'm a Ki'ilu. He also says Ki'ilu, but he doesn't have to say Ki'ilu, because it's not as if it's Bein Arbaim. It is Bein Arbaim. The morning is also Bein Arbaim. That is the Gemara, but Ihachiv, that's the way you're explaining the Machlaikis. And the Mifle Gibi Shaloi Lishmai, instead of the Machlaikis regarding the case of Shaloi Lishmai,
mean to say, is it bizmani to be, if you do it shaloi lishma, that's going to be pasal or not, lif legubi lishmai. Let them just disagree if you do the Karban Pesach for its namesake. And say, Karban Pesach was slaughtered in the 14th of Nisan in the morning. Is that kosher or not? Is it bizman or not? Peshua says pasal, remember it says kosher. Why say it only by shaloi lishmai? Says the Gemara, no, it's not difficult to be because if legubi lishmai, had we only said the machlekes, you're right, we could have said it. But had we only said it by lishmai, havamina, you would have said, Avo b'shaloi lishmai, but when it's not for its namesake, that actually there might Rabbi Yeshua leben b'seira, that Rabbi Yeshua agrees to ben b'seira, that although the morning is not its essential time, that maybe Rabbi Yeshua would agree that it's going to be pasal shaloi lishmai, the way ben b'seira says, is hayilu miktsasi, because since part of the day is ro, is fit to be lishmai, meaning mainly from the afternoon. So although it's not the time to be kosher, but ultimately it's still the time that if he did shaloi lishmai, it's going to be pasal. That's why we have to say that no, he says it's going to be even kosher shaloi lishmai in the morning. But maybe truthfully, but Maser holds even the morning would be kosher lishmai, and that's why he says it's pasul shaloi lishmai in the morning, because he holds actually the whole day is the time of the sacrificing of the Karban Pesach. That is the Gemara, and this question is on Rabbi Yishya. How could he say that the Karban Pesach, its time is in the morning, but v'ksiv bein arbayim? Which generally we interpret the Bein Arbaim as the afternoon. The reason why we do that is because it means when the day's night is starting, which is afternoon and it starts getting dark, and the night of the night, which is when night begins. So how can you say it's kosher even in the morning when it says Bein Arbaim? That Amu'ulu, B'reid Rav Eloi, says a different interpretation than Bein Arbaim. What does it mean Bein Arbaim? It means Bein Shnei Aravim, between the two evenings. Meaning from Aloysa Shachar till Shkia Sachama, which means to say, between the end of the previous night and the beginning of this night, which is the whole day of the 14th of Nisan. And that is the Gemara. If that's the way you're interpreting the words Bein Arbaim, we have many other psukim that say Bein Arbaim, which cannot be the morning, they're only the afternoon. Tamadich said Bei Bein Arbaim, they're regarding by the Karban Tamid when there's two daily sacrifices, one in the morning, and the other one by the second one that says it's brought Bein Arbaim. You're going to tell me that the second Karban Tamid is also kosher the whole entire day? Because you're saying Bein Arbaim means between the previous night and this night? This is Gemara, no. We know that the Karban Tamid of every day is brought afternoon, not morning, but that's for a different reason. That's because it says over in that pasuk as a keves echad tas of a baker, that the first one of the lambs is done in the morning. Mechlal the bein arbayim mamish. The inference obviously is that the second one, when it says bein arbayim, it's not in the morning. Must be it's brought in the afternoon. And that is the Gemara. Why? A mechad baker. Say one of them, the first one, that has to be brought in the morning. That one cannot be tarried and delayed later than noon. But idach, maybe we could say the second one, when it calls it Bein Arbaim, is kuliyama. Maybe the whole entire day is its time. And if you want, you could bring the second one in the morning. If you want, you could bring it in the afternoon. Because it says Bein Arbaim, which you expounded, means to say the whole entire day. Says the Gemara, no, you can't. Because when it says in the pasuk, as a keves echad tas of a baker, echad ba baker. One is in the morning. It's a mead, but we don't have two in the morning. So therefore, obviously, you have to say that you're going to have to delay the second one until the evening. But really, we could say in general, the term Bein Abayim can mean the whole day. There it has to be in the afternoon. But continues the Gemara asking, Neiris Tachse Bein Abayim, regarding the lighting of the candles in the Oil Moed, in the Heichel, where it says that it has to be lit Bein Abayim, Hachanami de Kuli Yem Akasha, you're going to tell me that they can light the candles the whole entire day, not just by the afternoon towards the evening? And that's the Gemara. Shani Hasan Nechse Me'erev Ad Baker. There it's different because the Pasuk in Shemes Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Aleph says that Yarech Oisei Aaron Avanim, that Aaron and the sons have to appear to light the candles from evening until morning. Now, Batani Lund Abraisa, Me'erev Ad Baker, from evening until morning, what that teaches is, Ten Lo Midasa, you have to give the requisite amount of measurement of oil, which is a half of a log for every single candle, because that's how much the Chacham estimated, that even the longest nights of Tevis, that it shouldn't go out the entire night. So although, let's say, in Tammuz and Nisan and Tishrei, that we don't care if it's going to go even into the third of the day. That doesn't bother us. As long as it has to be able to light every single night from evening until morning. Another interpretation of what it means is, then this is the point we want to show from this, there is no other service from all the services that are done during the daytime, whether the service of the blood, or the kmitza of the flower offering, of the katiris, that should be ksheira me'erev ad baker, that will be kosher to be done from evening until morning, meaning from the candle lighting onward, Elazoi bulvar, only this itself, meaning the menorah is the latest one from them all. Meaning me'erevat boker, from evening until morning, there's nothing being done. It's only the candle lighting that's being done from evening till morning. The bein abayim, yeah, it could be done all day. The only thing is you can't, because it has to be the latest thing, and therefore that's why it's done toward the end. But essentially we could say the term me'erevat bein abayim can be the whole entire day. The Gemara still asks, "Kateris tachsiba ben arba'im," regarding the incense offering, which it also says ben arba'im, "Hachanam de kuliyam kasher." You're going to tell me the whole entire day is kasher, but we know that the kateris was done right before the day ended, right before it got dark. Says the Gemara, "No, shana kateris. Here also, kateris is different. As a container on top of your days of an olive, the iskish laneris, because the pasuk equates it to the candle lighting. It says ubahalas aaron, that when aaron is going to go ahead and light the candles, is in shemayis lam and ches." Ben Arbayim, that's when Yakhtiren the Keteris Tamil of Nesham Dari Sechem. So we see that the same Ben Arbayim of the Neiris is that of the Keteris, and just like the Menorah, as we said, because of a different pasuk, Me'erevat Boker has to be towards the nighttime, so too the Keteris has to be towards the nighttime. But again, essentially we could say that Ben Arbayim means to say that if it doesn't have any other miut, that it could be the whole entire day. It's Me'erev from the previous night, the end of that one, to the beginning of this one, and that's why, says Rabbi Yishai, in the opinion of Ben Becerra, it's not just that the Pesach is pasul shalei lishma in the morning, lishma in the morning would also be kasher, and that's why he holds shalei lishma as pasul in the morning, because it is considered zmanay, zman is kalayayim, ben abayim means ben erev shal emesh, la erev shal hayayim.